God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. We're told that Kamala Harris, her life is defined by her faith. President Trump has been speaking a lot about God lately. A lot of evangelical Christians believe President Trump is being used by God in remarkable ways. Some of us, like me, have had questions about his humility. To truly know the Lord is to be humble. It is to not want to disappoint him. It's to worry about disappointing him. It's to grieve at the idea of disappointing him. Sometimes even as we are disappointing him, we struggle. I think almost dying in the assassination attempt, I think it did humble President Trump. And in that regard, I do think the Lord is moving the president closer to him. I wish I could say the same about Kamala Harris. I don't see any sign that there is a shred of humility in Kamala Harris. I don't see any sign that there's a shred of the fruit of the Spirit in her. Not a single sign. Both of them are going to get on the debate stage, and no one is going to ask them a substantive question about their faith. I mean, maybe an open-ended question. What does your faith mean to you? Well, that's a softball. How about this? In a nation where most people identify as Christian, and in a nation where most people do not have any idea what a biblical belief is, 15% of people have any real ties to the Bible in terms of their faith structure, and yet there's that identification. In a nation that you could say is in a Christian-identifying nation, how about some actual questions for them about their faith? Or, more importantly, how about the spiritual health of the country? Maybe some questions like this to both candidates. Is the United States a country that God can bless right now? If so, how? If not, why? That'd put them on the spot. Both candidates would have to say, well, of course God blesses the United States of America. Of course, we're the home for liberty and we're the home for freedom, and that's what they'd have to say. I think Kamala Harris would balance that against, well, of course, God wants us to give more money to the poor, and we're not doing that. Then my campaign will be about, and as long as I'm president, we're going to lower grocery prices. And what about their souls? What about their souls? The soul of the nation as a whole? That'd be a question. Here's another. You are both running to be president of the United States. Some people would consider that the most powerful job on earth. Which king in the Bible, with which king do you most identify yourself? Well, that would be fascinating. It would reveal how many of them or which of them had really read their Bibles. I mean, there's the well-known kings, and probably I'd do the same thing. Think of who are the well-known kings. Maybe that's how I'd identify. Maybe these questions should be asked of me. Well, I'm not running to be president, are you? There would also be the question of some of the so-called moral quandaries, the social issues that Republicans so hate. You could ask a very simple question. Genesis says that God created male and female in his image, man and woman. Do you agree? I mean, President Trump could have a pretty clean answer to that. Of course I do. Kamala Harris wouldn't expect a question. She might have a reflexive, well, of course. And then catch herself and say, there are people who God made differently. How? See, that would open up a fascinating line of questioning, wouldn't it? I mean, those are some of the questions that you could ask on a spiritual basis. Maybe another. Why did Jesus Christ come to die? I mean, that's a pretty open-ended question. There's a right answer to it. If you go to the Bible, there's a right answer. So that would be bothersome, I think, for maybe Kamala Harris. See, I don't know how well-versed in the Bible President Trump is. I really don't. I'm guessing, maybe not that well-versed. Some of the big stories, the common stories, those that are lingua franca for evangelical Christians, perhaps. Again, I could be wrong. It might be that the president is very well-versed in the Bible. Wouldn't that be thrilling to see? Kamala Harris probably has some scripture in her mind. Probably. Useful scripture. Useful for seeking power. And maybe she'll even use some of that in the debates. Now, on the topic of debates, are they? No, I mean, are they debates? See, both parties have sat down and negotiated what will be asked. Well, not the specific questions, but the area of coverage. What topics will be on the table? Here's some that won't be. Here's a question. The modified RNA injections that was forced down or sold to America, choose your verb, have proven to be very harmful to some people. By some estimates, these injections have killed 17 million people and will kill more. Do you think they're safe and effective? That'd be an interesting question. Outside of the, after the COVID lockdowns, where people were told they had to get injected to keep their jobs, to what degree was that a right decision to do, to force Americans to get injected to keep working? That's not going to come up. Not in that way. At all. President Trump can't bring it up because President Trump continues to think or pretend. I think he thinks the injections were great. Kamala Harris can't because, of course, her side sat firmly on the side of mandates, diktats, forcing people, and they'll do it again. And not just on the COVID shots. Well, they'll do it on a whole range of things. So mandates are probably going to be off the table. So what about this? America is structurally bankrupt. Structurally bankrupt. We take in trillions of dollars and spend trillions more. We are structurally bankrupt in that three to four cents out of a dime, or $3 to $4 out of $10, we borrow. And we're borrowing against an ever-growing debt. That's structurally bankrupt. Our on-the-books debt of $30 trillion is a joke. It's laughable. We have made promises to states and to people to spend $300 trillion more dollars. That's on-the-books debt. We are structurally bankrupt. How about this question? As president, will you admit to the American people that the country is structurally bankrupt and we're going to have a massive financial reckoning that is going to cause pain to many, many people, but probably not the rich? Are you willing to do that? I mean, that's a little bit of an editorializing statement and a question, but it's also mathematically factual. I don't think that's a conversation we're going to hear. Well, they'll ask about Ukraine. I guarantee they're going to ask about Ukraine because Ukraine is the most important country in the world. And they've always been our most important ally. In fact, this nation wouldn't exist without Ukraine. Well, that's the point of view of the Mockingbird media. That's what they choose to say. Now, maybe they'll stay away from it because the war's gone poorly. Maybe they'll stay away from it because Kamala Harris's people do not want her attempting to answer military questions. Maybe because President Trump would have a very clear answer. Maybe that's been negotiated out of the debate. I doubt it. Is it really a debate? I guess when you know the topic of a debate, if you're in a debating club, you have a topic and you take this position and your opponent takes that position. But then again, that's a one-topic debate. There are so many topics in America that should be covered. Here's another one. Be pretty easy. Kamala Harris, you have been a proponent of banning President Trump from social media like Twitter. You've been a proponent of the government having a heavier hand in censoring Americans. Tell us what you think President Trump should no longer be allowed to say. Great question. Turn it around to President Trump. Do you think there should be any controls at all on social media? I mean, you have said some pretty mean things on Twitter. Do you think there should be any controls at all on social media? Make him answer that question that way. That's the debate. I also firmly believe in this, that candidates who get to prep are candidates who get to rehearse. I would love to see an actual debate. An actual debate to me would occur when people arrive, walk in, sit down, and answer questions from all comers. That would be interesting. It would be revealing. There's a lot we should look to reveal, because there are some numbers in America that the party in charge, the Democrats, cannot defend. I guarantee President Trump will be all over some of these numbers. It has to do with job growth with native-born Americans. It sounds like Native Americans versus foreign-born workers. And that job growth is astounding in comparison. There's that. There's what's happening in Springfield, Ohio. Have you watched this? Springfield, Ohio, as I understand it, is a town of about 60,000 people that suddenly got the gift of 20,000 Haitian immigrants in the country, largely illegally. See, they walked across the border. Oh, wait, no. That's right. You can't get here from Haiti by walking across a border. It's an airplane flight or it's a ship. And it's probably airplane flights, because the CPB app allows illegal immigrants to come into the country illegally to skip the border. Now, these people from Haiti come from a very, very broken place. I regard it as a place that has just been absolutely, absolutely eaten by evil. And what we're hearing, and we'll get to some of the sounds of this, are people who live in Springfield, Ohio, saying the Haitian immigrants are, and forgive me, I'm just reporting, they're defecating in our lawns. They're eating our pets. They're killing and eating geese that live in our parks. Now, you cannot blame people who grew up in Haiti and ate whatever they could eat and treated their world the way they treated it for doing that here. But this is why we've always had, not always, but for a very long time, had some control over who we bring into the country. It's not to be cruel, it's to maintain a country that has been the lifeboat for the world. We are 5% of the world's population. We've taken in 20% of the world's displaced peoples, and we have maintained some stability. When you take 20,000 Haitian immigrants and put them into a town of 60,000 people, you are materially changing what that town means. You are going to get racial conflict. It's not if. You are going to get racial conflict. It won't start as racism. It will start as what is going on to the town I live in. Resident after resident has spoken about this at town hall meetings. What has become of the town I used to love? President Trump, of course, stands on the side of more controls on immigration. The people who run Kamala Harris stand on another side. Open borders at all costs. We can see how this has manifested in England, where there are literal no-go zones. Now, the topic of immigration will come up. Will President Trump be prepared to talk in terms of hard numbers? I think he will be, because a candidate who gets to prepare is a candidate who gets to rehearse. There's so much more to talk about in this debate, if we're actually going to make it a debate, on the nature of free speech. What's going on globally? Brazil just banned Twitter, and the NFL just held a game there. There's been one major media organization that's reported on this aside from Fox News. That's been the Wall Street Journal. It has been treated with the propaganda of silence in other media organizations. We just had the U.S. ambassador to Brazil sitting there watching the game in a country that has banned free speech. There were protests. Tens of thousands of people took to the streets in Brazil. This did not make the news here. So freedom of speech and immigration should be part of this debate, and I hope that President Trump is firm on this. It will be fascinating to see the degree to which Kamala Harris lies. I do hope there's at least one question from the Bible, based upon the Bible. We'll talk more. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The last segment, talking about the debate coming up tomorrow, such as it is. I tend to think these things are so staged and negotiated in terms of areas of coverage that I don't know how much of a debate they are. I mean, there's some debating, to be fair. Also, because of the coverage and who's going to be doing it, it will clearly be slanted towards Kamala Harris. This is a known factor. President Trump's team knew this going in. Sometimes there is a thought that this plays to the advantage of Republicans because the Republican base does not trust the Mockingbird media, and it's sort of a churn-out method. Drives enthusiasm, and we'll show them. We also talked about some biblical questions that would be great to see asked of these candidates. That's not going to happen, but it would be fantastic, since we are a nation where most people identify as Christian, to take some questions inspired by the Bible, such as, you are both seeking office to be president of the United States. There are people who believe that's the most powerful job in the world. So with which biblical king do you most identify? That would be interesting to hear the discussion. And it would be hard for Kamala Harris to not say, well, of course, I would identify with the queen, and then laugh joyfully because she's a joyful person. Or that's what we're to say. That's the assigned designation of Kamala Harris, according to the Mockingbird media. She's very, very joyful. So we probably won't get that. We are going to get questions about immigration. And on this basis, I hope President Trump is crisp and clear and able to call out the lies of the people who run Kamala Harris. They're running a pretty devastating ad, the people behind President Trump, in regard to the position of Kamala Harris on immigration.
Are undocumented immigrants that are the least likely to commit a crime?
Police report as many as 75% of the people they've arrested in Midtown Manhattan for assault, robbery, and domestic violence are illegal migrants.
Police have tracked down a killer whose crimes spanned the country. Rachel Marin was dragged from a hiking trail in Maryland where she was raped and murdered.
Police say Brandon Ortiz Vite used a handgun he bought illegally to shoot Ruby Garcia multiple times on Friday.
The prime suspect charged in Lake and Riley's murder was 26-year-old Jose Antonio Ibarra. He illegally entered the United States back in 2022.
A Texas grand jury indicted Rafael Gouveia Romero. He's accused of attacking 16-year-old Lizbeth Medina by repeatedly hitting her head and stabbing her.
So let's get our notions together about what we're talking about.
That's Kamala Harris joyfully laughing, stating that people who broke the law to enter the country commit fewer crimes than people who don't break the law to enter the country. I mean, that's how you can break the statement down. Every single illegal immigrant enters having broken the law. They're all criminals. We, as Christians, need to take that fact in, absorb it, and turn it around. They broke the law. They're also loved by God. Therefore, we are to love them, just as we're to love Kamala Harris, even with her cackling and her lying. Doesn't mean that we have to vote for her. We don't make endorsements on this network. You'll make up your own mind. I hope you do it biblically in terms of your vote, to the degree that we can in this country of two choices, two real choices. There's some numbers. In August, 635,000 foreign-born workers gained jobs. 1.3 million Americans lost jobs. This has been a consistent mathematical fact, these proportions, since 2021. There is the creation of a special class of people. There is an attempt to destroy the Electoral College. There is also an ongoing, obvious attempt to destabilize America after the way countries like Haiti are destabilized. We talked in the last segment about what's going on in Springfield, Ohio. a town of about 60,000 people that's been given the gift of 20,000 illegal immigrants from Haiti. From a tribal culture, from a culture, a country sadly run by cannibal gangs, they have not been given the opportunity to melt into American society in the melting pot, to integrate. They don't know how to live in our way. So they're living their way. It's going to cause strife. It's designed to cause strife. Let's let us refuse to allow it to cause hatred, because that's also the design. The design is to cause hatred in the hearts of people to destabilize this nation. So people will eventually do anything, anything just to feel safe. President Trump, in this debate, is going to be asked about his biggest mistake as president. He is going to, at some point, have to defend that because, of course, Kamala Harris will be attacking him. Kamala Harris doesn't have any legislative record. She's never done anything. She's put people in jail, and then she's let people out of jail. She's raised money for a terrorist. She's sat in the room as Joe Biden made the terrible decision, or the people around him forced him to decide, to exit Afghanistan in the way he did. So there's plenty to criticize her about, but it's not legislation. President Trump, on the other hand, was president for 4 years. He will be asked to defend that. Kamala Harris will attack his record. So President Trump hadn't liked, it seemed, to speak about what he learned or mistakes he made when he was in office. He recently spoke about this, the mistakes he made when he was in office. And inherent in that, of course, is what he would do differently. He was speaking with Sean Hannity.
Mr. President, I want to thank you for coming and sharing your time with us today.
Thank you, Deborah.
What could you share that you've learned during the first time being in the Oval Office for those who are hesitant to vote for you now?
So we need a strong president. And, you know, I actually think we had a very stable administration, but we were hit with this weaponization. We were hit to weaponize. They've never done this before. The weaponization, all of the different Russia hoax, all of the different hoaxes, and we won every single one of them. The most important thing, and I found it, and you could say this is true in business also, we have to get the right people. When I first went there, 2016, I had a lot of good people, I had a lot of good advice, but I put people in that in some cases were not what I really wanted because I didn't know much about Washington. I was there 17 times in my whole life and I wasn't in D.C. very much, but I got to know them and I got to know them the hard way. And I know the good ones, the bad ones, the weak ones, the smart ones, the dumb ones. I know them all now. And the key, and we had great ones. I mean, economic development, we did so well. The military, we did fantastically well. We knocked out ISIS, 100% of the ISIS caliphate. We have some great people in the military, not the ones that you see on television, but great people. But a big key to running it is get the right people. You put the right person and the right group of people at the heads of these massive agencies, you're going to have tremendous success. And I know now the people, and I know them better than anybody would know them. So thank you very much. Thank you, Deborah.
It's a very typical response from President Trump. I know these people better than anybody could ever know them. I do hope that God will continue to humble President Trump. Now, Kamala Harris comes from California, and it would be perfectly fair to ask her questions about California. The lie of transgenderism is, of course, forefront now in people's minds, and those of us who've been reporting on this for 8 or 9 years, at least speaking for myself, I find it a little bit frustrating that people are only catching on now because so many lives have been destroyed under this lie. I also find it deeply gratifying that so many people are catching on now so that more lives aren't destroyed. Kamala Harris has been a fan of speech controls. She's been a fan of censorship of social media. She comes from California. She's seeking the highest office in the land. President Trump has said he will ban wrong sex hormones and wrong sex surgery for kids from a federal level. Of course, there'll be lawsuits about that. And that's what he said. Kamala Harris hasn't said much about the lies of transgenderism. You know she has to side with it. So how about a question about what's going on in the state of California in terms of free speech and the lie of transgenderism? After all, Kamala Harris is a strong and joyful woman. A state senator named Shannon Grove has been in California fighting a battle that few other people will fight. In this case, all she wants is to have men removed from women's prisons. That's all she's seeking. She likes this bill. She's going to try to back this bill, but she doesn't like the fact that there are men being allowed to rape women in Californian prisons and get them pregnant if it's not rape. See, they want to protect pregnant prisoners. Gosh, how are they getting pregnant? This is what that debate sounded like in California.
I do have one problem that I think we all need to look at and address. If we're going to protect women in these prisons, we need to make sure that all women are protected. In 2021, the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitations was required during their intake to ask their gender identity for inmates, and they allow them to change them fluidly, I guess. CDCR is also requires to house inmates who are transgender regardless of...
Senator Grove, if you could stick to the merit of the bill, please.
Absolutely, ma'am, I am. Protecting women and postpartum issues. So we have an issue in Chowchilla, and I'll just be brief. And I'd like to read a letter, if I could, from a prison inmate in Chowchilla. So this bill that we're looking at is protecting postpartum women. Women are coming up pregnant in Chowchilla, and they're coming up positive for AIDS. This bill deals with the pregnancy. I have a letter here from an individual...
Senator Grove, so long as the letter is related to the merits of the bill, incarcerated
yes.
pregnant...
It's from an incarcerated woman. Yes, it is from an incarcerated woman. Mm. So in brief, I'm sure I'll get cut off again for this particular bill. I had an incarcerated woman from Chowchilla Prison who's dealing with the pregnancy issue of a rape of an individual who has male anatomy in this prison. In this bathroom at Chowchilla, permission to use a prop, they hand out condoms. Why do you need condoms in a women's prison paid for
I'm
by
I'm sorry, is permission
dollars?
Granted?
Senator Grove, stick to the merits of the bill, please.
Why would you send out, why we would not have to worry about the pregnancy issue in prison, which this bill addresses to protect pregnant women, if we didn't pass out, if condoms were not passed out in a state prison where we have male individuals and in Chowchilla.
Senator Grove.
Have pregnancies.
This is the last warning. Your mic would be cut off. Stick to the merits of the bill.
Pregnancies that are taking place where we allow postpartum to, this bill protects those women after they deliver babies to be able to have time off to recover this. So I applaud the author. I support this bill. And I think we as a women's caucus need to do more to protect women in prison situations that we.
Did you hear that? It's not a women's prison. Kamala Harris, do you support men being allowed to rape women while they're in prison? Do you support men in women's prisons? Yes or no? Now, there won't be any question like that from the Mockingbird media. But it is also a question straight from the Bible. Well, Genesis, God created man and woman in his image. The admonition against sex outside of marriage, they're not going to cover that. Not lording your power over others. They're not going to cover that. But wouldn't it be amazing if they did? This is an international phenomena, quite on purpose, quite meant to divide. Satan loves this, and gladly God's using it for his glory. So many people coming to the Lord as they're watching the world become insane. They're going to be, one of them, get the title of President of the United States. They're going to have to deal with things like this on a global basis. I told you last week about a teacher named Enoch Burke. He was arrested in Ireland. He was arrested because he refuses to pretend that men are women. A politician in Ireland named Simon Harris was approached on the street and asked a question about this teacher.
Just a quick question. You recently commended the school in Mullingar, Wilson's Hospital School. And I was just wondering, did you have anything to say about the young man who's in prison?
Anything to say about Enoch Burke, Mr. Harris?
Anything to say about Mr. Burke?
Simon, anything to say about the teacher in prison for not agreeing with transgenderism?
He's running away. He's hiding his face and he's running away. He had praised the hospital school where this was going on, and he runs away from the press. We are to speak truth wrapped in grace. We are not to lie. Transgenderism, of course, is a lie, all of it. Wouldn't it be interesting to hear a question like, has anyone ever been born in the wrong body? Free speech should be a topic. God is pro-free speech. Kamala Harris is not. I believe President Trump is. This should be in the debates. Kamala Harris and her views on who gets to say what.
All of these social media companies and these online platforms, which are so powerful in their ability to impact perception about an issue and to influence behaviors. Let's be clear about that. There have to be standards, and he and his account should be taken down. We saw in El Paso that that shooter in his manifesto was informed by how Donald Trump uses that platform. And this is a matter of corporate responsibility. Twitter should be held accountable and shut down that site. It is a matter of safety and corporate accountability.
Now, of course, Kamala Harris used that site, as she calls it, Twitter, to actively raise money to bail out people who were attempting to kill police officers. People who successfully shut down American cities, sometimes seizing entire blocks of cities. In the case of Seattle, for weeks at a time. Kamala Harris doesn't mean corporate responsibility. Kamala Harris means shut up. In other words, shut up, explained the lady. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Really appreciate you listening to Disciples View. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling in a second. Note here from Billy from Mississippi. Incidentally, I'm going to be down in Mississippi coming up next month. Next month. It just occurred to me, wow, we got to find a way to meet up. Listeners from that area, I would love to meet you. I'm speaking out of school here. I don't make those decisions. AFR management makes those decisions. Oh gosh, I hope I don't get in trouble for that. But man, that would be fun to meet some of you guys. This is a note from Billy from Mississippi. Hey Todd, I hear your show, Disciples View on AFR, when I go to work in the afternoons during the week. On September 3, you talked about the idea for rewriting the Constitution as proposed by Erwin Chemerinsky, who's acclaimed as an expert on the Constitution. After looking him up on Google and reading some information about him on Wikipedia, I found that he's an expert in constitutional law, not the Constitution. Constitutional law classes in most law schools only teach future lawyers about law, case law, and does not require any study or reading of the actual Constitution of the United States or any writings of the Founding Fathers, which give proper commentary and context to the meaning of the Constitution. Therefore, Mr. Chemerinsky cannot be considered an expert in the Constitution in any way, form, or fashion. Had he really read the document itself or any writings of the Founding Fathers, his views about rewriting the Constitution would be different. That is, assuming he's a man of reason and logic, which I doubt. He would actually appreciate the Constitution, especially the section that allowed it to be amended 17 times in 240 plus years of existence. Leftists hate laws that limit their ability to control both themselves and others. They hate morality. They hate the Bible because it's a reminder that God exists and created a world with an ordered moral framework. They hate Israel and Jews because those are reminders that God chose the land for those descendants of Abraham and chose a city named Jerusalem to bear the witness of his holy name. Therefore, out of hatred for and rebellion against God, the creator and king of the created order, they want a new constitution, one that does away with order and limitations. With all that being said, I appreciate your show. I find your raw honesty at times enlightening and encouraging with my walk with Jesus, at other times convicting of my shortcomings before the Lord. Thank you for what you do and the blessings that come from Messiah Jesus, Billy, a listener from Mississippi. Billy, thank you so much for the note and thank you for listening so closely. Thank you for supporting AFR. And let me just make a comment to your comment. The professor you mentioned, Chemerinsky, Erwin Chemerinsky, used to revere the Constitution. No, truly, when President Trump was in office, he revered it. He wrote the long pieces about how President Trump was destroying the Constitution, the sacred Constitution. When President Trump was kicked out of office using the COVID lockdowns and all the other hoaxes, suddenly the professor had a new view. We must amend the Constitution to make sure people like President Trump can never be president. In other words, just as you said, he is not a man of logic and ordered thinking. He's a man of emotion. Appreciate the notes, Billy. Thank you so much. This is a day that a lot of people didn't know would come. You know who Elton John is? Elton John is famously same-sex attracted. He has one of the most storied songwriting careers in history. A lot of people were very surprised to hear Elton John respond in the following manner when a reporter asked him about President Trump using the phrase Little Rocket Man for the dictator of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. This is what Elton John said. I wasn't surprised, and I'll tell you why.
I know that you're not a supporter of Donald Trump's. He loves your music. How did it feel when he took the lyrics to Rocket Man and he used it as a nickname for Kim Jong-un, and then he gave Kim Jong-un...
I laughed. CD. I thought it was brilliant. I just thought, good on you, Donald. I'm the Rocket Man, yeah. Donald's always been a fan of mine, and he's been to my concerts many, many times. So, I've always been friendly towards him, and I thank him for his support. Yeah, when he did that, I just thought it was hilarious. It made me laugh.
He gave Kim one of your CDs and signed it. That was in one of the books about him, because Kim, I guess, didn't know the song, so...
What's that?
He gave Kim Jong-un the signed CD.
Yes.
You know, which he'd never heard of it.
I know, because he hasn't heard of me, Kim Jong-un. Maybe I'd be very surprised if he had. I've never toured North Korea, and I have no intention of doing so. But I thought it was a light moment, and it was fun.
Did you know that Elton John played at Rush Limbaugh's wedding? Did you know that? They actually developed a friendship. Elton John is apparently a man capable of understanding that we can disagree with living an active same-sex attracted life. We can point to the Bible and say that separates you from God, Elton, and we can still be friends. In other words, he's an old-fashioned gentleman in that way. More of us should pursue that. And in all these interactions, Elton John, with people like Rush Limbaugh, I just pray that God will one day use one of those interactions to call Elton to himself. There must be some reason the Lord gifted Elton so remarkably in music. Shouldn't there be? On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babel.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babel. This for tonight's debate. Lindsay Davis and David Muir. Newsbusters did a great job of going back and finding some of the things they said about the debates. Some of the things that they, well, not about the debates, but some of their approaches to media reporting on Republican-Democrat issues. They called it the worst of ABC's debate moderators, Muir and Davis. Here, Lindsay Davis makes commentary on Hillary Clinton's claim that the elections were stolen.
Look back, would it have been more easy to handle losing outright than to have really won but still lost?
That was really tough. It was not only winning by 3 million votes and having all the weird things happen at the end that interfered with my votes, but it was also who I lost to. I mean, if I'd lost to a normal Republican...
So, once again, Hillary Clinton allowed to say the election was stolen. And Lindsay Davis assisting Hillary Clinton in saying the election was stolen. When President Trump said the election was stolen, it was a national security offense. It was a felony. It was a reason for him to be banned from politics forever. It's a reason to take him to court in Washington, D.C. and say that he fomented an actual insurrection against the United States of America, that he attempted a violent overthrow of the transfer of power. These are the people who will be moderating the debates tonight. Did I earlier say the debate is tomorrow? Did I say that? Okay, you could make that. That's me getting the Biden brain. Honestly, guys, I believe this. I spent so much time talking about Joe Biden's brain being in decline and not laughing about it. It's not a funny matter that I think God says to me sometimes, Bud, look, your brain's going to age too, and you're going to do it on national radio. All right, thanks for telling me that. No, oh, I'm embarrassed. Probably first segment? Yeah, okay. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, the worst of the debate moderators for tonight's debate, David Muir, talking about the Dobbs decision.
And outside the Supreme Court, crowds growing all day, one side declaring victory, the other side in disbelief that this is no longer a decision protected across this country between a woman and her doctor. Abortion rights opponents celebrating a victory 50 years in the making. Abortion rights supporters stunned that a 50-year precedent has been overturned, now vowing to fight this.
So it was not a precedent. It was invented from thin air by one court. Therefore, it can be uninvented by another court. This is why the process for amending the Constitution exists, so that a law is actually then a law, not a preference from nine people or the majority of nine people. These are the people who will be moderating the debate tonight. I apologize for calling it tomorrow earlier. Lindsey Davis had a discussion with Kamala Harris, and man, it was hard hitting.
So we're here in Iowa. You just hosted this conversation about protecting reproductive freedom. What does this mean to you personally?
It's about understanding that a fundamental freedom for the women of America has been attacked.
That's not what it means to you personally, but that's okay. The question was simply designed to let you speak. President Trump will be facing, of course, hostile moderators tonight. And how he responds to this is going to be key, because I firmly guarantee you, Kamala Harris is going to be given all sorts of designs and ways to trigger President Trump. They want him to become emotional. They want him in an angry state. They want him to lose emotional control. So Kamala Harris will be trying to do everything she can to make that happen. I believe the debate, so-called moderators, will be seeking the same thing. A, it would be great TV for them. B, they both clearly stand with Kamala Harris. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
We often wrap up this program with a personal observation from myself and a way to kind of just share who I am with you. It's fair. You spend so much time with us on the program, you should know a little bit about the guy who is, well, moderating the program or hosting it and getting it wrong that the debate is tomorrow rather than today. I have been really, really in this season encountering some huge challenges for younger friends of mine whose marriages are suffering. And I've been seeing some commonalities, and maybe you're seeing the same thing. One of the big things I've noticed in these commonalities of people whose marriages are suffering is the fact that people are not intentional in the way their marriages work. And what's weird to me is these are some of the most intentional people I've ever known. I have a friend of mine who is a very successful lawyer. And in the below the age of 40, he's made several lists. He was, 40 below 40, 30 below 30. He's made considerable money. He obediently ties to the church and then some. And he started a couple of foundations. In his 40s, he's got foundations. His marriage is crumbling. His wife has left. It's a trial separation, and we just simply visited. Now, it's not my job to fix. God does that. But when I talk to him about the structure of the home and how the home works, here's a couple things he said to me. We don't really believe in a strong-handed approach at home, so we kind of just let things happen. And what does that mean? Well, We believe in a really relaxed home, a relaxed sense of things at home. Both of us are so busy during the weeks. His wife is an ER doc. Both of us are so busy during the weeks that home is a place where we relax, where we like to take our feet off the gas and relax. And yes, of course. This is what home is, in a way. What is your process for making sure you have regular time together and time with the families? Do you plan vacations? Do you plan family days? Are there nights where it's just you and your wife? Well, again, we just literally let those things unfold. Okay. Is that what you do in your law practice? Well, no, but that's business. You lead your law practice. And he looked at me and said, oh, Lord, I'm not leading my home. I asked him this, who is? He thought about it and said, well, I don't think it's my wife. And they became ashen. Our kids. Tell me about that. Our kids lead our house. When we come home, we're taking our feet off the gas. We're relaxing. Except for the kids need us to take them to soccer, to football, to wrestling, to camp. We end up working for them on the weekends and at night. Dear God, my 11-year-old's running my house. I've seen this in young marriages, this focus, feet on the gas, earn the money, and I get it. It's a scary economic time. I get it. I've also been guilty. I didn't create a mission statement, commitments, and goals for our family. I didn't lead that way. I didn't know that was my job. But it is, men, it is our jobs to lead in a way that's cooperative with our wives. Cooperative leadership, leading as Jesus did, in other words, leadership through service. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been The Disciples View.